It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
All right,
everybody. What a
your
weird
dime,
treat
my
this
dance
is.
Floor. My dime, your dance floor. What
Let
is
me
it,
tell
Kevin?
You, kid, those are great ad libs. If I kick while I'm on the air,
yes.
You're the first speaker at my funeral.
Oh, that's fair.
How about a peruse?
He has his own built-in introduction, the man, the myth, the legend. It's Chet Kopic, everybody. He's the author of a new book, Chet Kopic Laying It on the Line. Hello, Chet.
Hello, William. How are you, buddy?
You look fantastic.
I got to tell you, Bill,
yes.
I would rather look good than to feel good. And when you're 66 years old, it's a very challenging age.
I
mentioned earlier, I'm a little bit too old for Justin Bieber, but I'm still way too young for Wayne Newton.
I don't know about that.
Snyder, hop in when it says blonde speaks, okay?
Chet, please.
Chet, who better to write a book on the ups and downs of being a sportscaster in Chicago than yourself?
I don't think anybody is, to tell you the truth. I think the book, if you read it, you know, Chet Kopic, Laying It on the Line, we talk a lot about my battles over the years with depression. We talk about my my battles with booze and the fact that I've been clean and sober for 33 years.
Congratulations.
I decided that if I was going to write a book, guys, that what I wanted to do is I had to clear up some myths. And by the way, the ice water routine, am I the only guy who thinks I love the charity, but it's getting a little bit old at this point.
It's the ALS Foundation. You've got to dump a bucket of ice water on your head. And here's the thing. The challenge happens, and you have to either do it within 24 hours, dump the bucket out over your head,
right,
or pay, donate $100 to the ALS Foundation.
Yeah.
So everyone's just putting it up on Facebook, and they're not getting the money.
Shouldn't the money go towards hypothermia instead of ALS? Am I the only one who hasn't figured that out? It's going to the wrong cause.
Well, Jeff Hoover from the WGN-TV Morning News did the Bozo Bucket Challenge morning and dumped a bunch of ping pong balls from the Bozo Bucket.
Who doesn't miss the grand prize game?
It's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that was such great television.
Always fun. Always
right up there
fun.
With Cronkite, the CBS Evening News, in my opinion.
He originally did it, Chet. Remember, Cronkite used to do the Bozo Buckets. And then our Bozo said, I could try that.
Cram it, Clowny.
Yeah.
Cram it, Clowny. Well, get a load of the fair-haired damsel. Cram it, Clowny.
All right. So Chet Kopic, Laying It on the Line. This is your second book?
Yeah.
Is this like are you going to...
This is a full-blown tell-all, and names get named, and I'm going to be frank with you. One myth I wanted to clear up was about my firing at Channel 5, you know, back in the day. Everybody said it was because Kopic kept on bleeding into Johnny Carson. Well, you guys know this.
Mm-hmm.
On the O&O level, Chicago, Channel 5, if you bleed into Carson one night, you're on the carpet.
Yeah.
Your wrists are going to get slashed. The idea that I was doing it nightly is such a fallacy that was perpetrated by various people at Channel 5, and one of those people was Carol Marine.
Yeah.
And I do call out Carol in this book. Pretty
really?
Good. Yeah.
What's in it for them, Chet, to say that that's the reason they let you go?
Well, Bill, if we can go back to that particular window of time, Channel 5 was very, very oriented toward news there.
Sure.
Feelings about sports was kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Carol was never particularly a big fan of sports.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact it was told to me when I was fired that she had lined up definitively against me.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the time I got fired, it was November of 1983. And, you know, we had good numbers, but Marine didn't like me. There were some other people... little higher up the food chain who weren't crazy about me. Plus, I just can't understand why they would look at this handsome, olive oil-complected young man by the name of Mark Gian Greco and think he would be a better buyer than me.
Yeah, whatever became of him? You never even hear about him
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. The guy went nowhere fast. He's doing Weekend Weather now in Terre
Haute. Is that where he is? But now, the story had always been, for people who don't know, that at some point, instead of them being able to switch over to the Tonight Show, you kept making the sports go longer and longer and longer. But
yeah,
you say
which
that was
you cannot
not the case.
Do.
Well,
I mean,
they
that's
would
ridiculous.
Still switch over. Wouldn't they just stop
you
mid-sentence?
Yeah, they would just cut you off. They would just cut you off if you were doing that. So I wanted to clear that up. I felt like, listen, I have, you know, perpetrated the image over the years of being kind of a pecs bad boy, a clown, a would-be professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain how my childhood developed or more or less created the formation for me going in that particular direction. And am I comfortable within my own skin? Very much so. I always have been comfortable within my own skin. But this book will tell you why Chet Kopic became the, carnival barker that he is. You know, does that make any sense?
When people talk,
I like to say a walking cartoon, but that's okay.
I know. Now, see, that to me is a compliment.
I mean it as a compliment.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to offend you.
You say that to Ron Majors, and, you know, he calls up his shrink.
He would deck you. If you said that to Ron, he would pop you.
That's what you've done. I mean, I worked with you, Kopic on Sports, AM1000. Right. I mean, you're one of the first sports broadcasters in this city. I mean, I was there when Dan McNeil worked underneath you and was your producer.
I worry about Mac right now. I really do. Now, I talk about Mac and my relationship with Danny in the book, and I don't mean this to be mean-spirited. I mean this in the greatest of sincerity of kindness. I just hope for Mac's sake that he hasn't fallen off the wagon.
Yeah.
Because he had problems with depression,
right,
substance abuse, yeah, you know, alcohol, that type of thing. I just hope Danny is mentally right now fit and understands, you know, what he's doing. And for the sake of his family, I hope to heck that he hasn't fallen off the wagon.
That's my big
worry right now with Dan McNeil.
He's a very talented guy.
Oh, remarkably talented.
He is. No doubt about that. Taking you out of the equation for just a second, who's the best sportscaster this city's ever seen?
Oh, without question. His monument is right down the street.
Jack Brickhouse.
And the reason I go with Jack is he not only did Cubs and White Sox baseball, the Bears, the Bulls,
soccer, boxing,
professional wrestling for 10 years.
Yeah.
For years, WGN Television used Jack as its commentator at political conventions.
Yeah.
Did the Brickhouse Hubbard Show, did the Man on the Street, did big bands at the Edgewater Beach Hotel, did country and western at the Aragon Ballroom. He's the single most diverse announcer Chicago ever had. And in my opinion, the best pure next-door neighbor-type sportscaster any city has ever had. I mean, if I've had one honor in this business, I wouldn't trade for anything. It was last year when I was inducted into the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame. I was given the Jack Brickhouse Lifetime Achievement Award. And you can only imagine, for a guy who knew Jack when he was, when I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack was like a mentor, then a buddy, then we worked banquets together, and I spoke at his funeral.
Mm.
And, you know, Wendy, you'll be speaking at my funeral, which takes place shortly after 5 p.m. today.
We'll get there late.
But in the meantime, please buy at least another half a dozen books so we can arrange for something, you know, appropriate with the funeral home.
The book that Chet just spoke of is called Laying It on the Line. It's his second book. He's right there on the railroad tracks on the cover. You can't miss it. Chet, I'm looking through the book, and there's pictures with you with some of the biggest names in sports history. Just give us a minute or two about sitting next to Muhammad Ali. What was that like?
That was Bill back in 1974, right before he left to go to Zaire to fight George Foreman. Met him at the old 50th on the Lake Motel. It was arranged by a member of Elijah Muhammad's inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the whole day with Muhammad. And it was really, it was very interesting because at that time, I think he was still wrestling with, am I Cassius Clay or am I Muhammad Ali? But he did say one thing I've never forgotten, and that was during the course of our conversation late in the day, he said, Kopic, remember one thing. White America fears Elijah Muhammad.
Mm.
That's the one thing I want you to take home. And I've never forgotten about that. And I love the champ, and it hurts me a great deal to see Muhammad suffering the way he has suffered for the past 20 years. It hurts me to an even greater extent that the boxing community will not admit that rather than dealing with Parkinson's syndrome, I believe Muhammad is dealing with pugilistic syndrome. You can't have the three-fight series. He had with Joe Frazier. You can't stand in Zaire and absorb punches the way he did against George Foreman and not eventually have the gray matter begin to, take its own course.
Yeah.
But it breaks my heart to see Muhammad the way he is today.
All right. Chet Kopic, Laying It on the Line. There's been a lot of speculation that you're laying on the tracks and there's a train coming. You weren't really on the tracks, were you?
Of course, yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Chester, you got to be careful, man.
Well, I mean, you know, most people are disappointed that the train just didn't keep on coming.
Whatever happened,
I mean, Arlo Guthrie was humming Riding the City of New Orleans in the background, you know. What we did was we went out, Patrick Hurley and myself and my girlfriend Joanne, and I had that suit on, and I had a couple of towels, and I laid on the tracks. And then through the beauty of photoshopping, we were able to come up with the cover for Laying It on the Line.
Beautiful. You should have had your fur coat on, though.
I'm getting a brand new fur coat
this fall. Awesome.
Silver Fox. It'll be the 10th fur coat I've had over the years.
10.
Which leaves me too shy of the modern American record held jointly by Wilson Pickett and James Brown.
I've heard you sing. What is the song?
I've been loving you too long.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Sweating Diddy.
He's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good, Bill. Pretty impressive. Tommy Lasorda, that interview you did years ago, you asked Tommy a question. He's known for his long-winded answers. He gave you a yes or a no. And what were you eating? And he came back, and your mouth is totally filled.
The grub had come from the late Bigsby Sports Bar and Grill over
That's
by Bigsby
right.
and Crothers clothing store on North Clark. And
hello to Gene and Joe.
I asked Tommy one of my typical questions, which went, 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Yeah.
I said,
how does he even know what the question is when you finish speaking?
Well, I generally don't. usually I ask a question, answer it, and then re-ask it and just hope for the best. But I figured Tommy would talk for at least 3.5 minutes. He talked about 11 seconds. I had this big wad of barbecue chicken in my mouth. I went, so Tommy, looking ahead.
Stephen Gary played
sounded
that.
Like crazy Guggenheim. You know?
Yeah. Stephen Gary played that audio all the time. And also, the funniest thing, when you followed Stephen Gary on AM 1000 and they left the harmonizer on, it is the funniest piece of audio in the world. You were so bothered by the fact that you couldn't, everybody, topic on sports.
Wendy,
and he sounds like a chipmunk.
You guys know this. The beauty of the old loop was, we couldn't break any rules because there were no rules.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. No. It's so true.
I mean, Larry and Jimmy understood the obvious. It was a collection of nutcases.
Can you imagine them running this station, what that would have been
well,
like? Can you imagine? I can't even.
I don't think Wally would have been here quite that long.
No, maybe not. Real quickly, I think the biggest sports story here in town over the last decade would be the resurgence of the Blackhawks. Did you ever think it would come back as big and as strong and as great
no,
as it's been?
No, not in my wildest dreams. Not in my wildest dreams. And while you talk about, obviously, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews being at the hub of all this, it's the marketing genius of John McDonough, who would have made Major League Baseball, by the way, a marvelous commissioner, along with Jay Blunk, his right-hand man and senior vice president of the Blackhawks. I think eventually John is going to move on to a position of greater prominence, perhaps commissioner of the NFL, commissioner of the National Hockey League, and Jay will replace him as president of the Chicago Blackhawks. I think before John says goodbye, I believe he's 60 or 61 years old, and he's a workout demon. He's up at 5 o'clock every morning. He works impossible hours. I think John wants one more big pelt to put on the belt before he finally skates off. Although, really, looking at John, John will work till he's 91.
Yeah.
John will work until they carry him off.
But just the fervor in this city. The Blackhawks weren't dead and buried, but you'd be hard-pressed to find too many people
well,
that could name
Bill,
three Blackhawks.
Well, Bill, it's gone this far. As big a Chicago Bear fan as I am, and I'll attend my 64th consecutive
opening
Chicago
day.
Bear home opener when they play Buffalo September 7th. With the exception of the Bears-Green Bay, that one particular ballgame, the Blackhawks have supplanted the Chicago Bears as the sex appeal ticket in the city of Chicago.
I believe it. Just like you, especially in your silver fox fur, you're getting that full-length one.
Not to mention my 46-inch waist.
Nice hubba hubba.
Or my booty, which is actually bigger than a Ford Explorer.
All right, to buy the book, you can go to Kopick-Hurley, with an E, Kopick, Kopick-Hurley.com. You also have some book signings coming up. I saw that.
I do. The Chet Kopick 66 is really the brand-new 18 tour. Commences tomorrow night at the Baseball Card King. That's at 16030 South Lincoln Highway. If you missed that, it's at 16030 South Lincoln Highway in Plainfield. August 21st, I'll be at the Baseball Card King, 1552 Ogden Avenue in Downers Grove. And may I say this?
Sure.
You guys are doing fabulous work.
Oh,
it's really an
thank
honor
you,
and a thrill for me to be here. You know, this is the joint I always wanted to work in because I love Jack so much.
Yeah.
It was always my dream to work here at WGN. So, DeCastro, if you're up there, you want him to start negotiating now?
He's ready. Chester Jeffrey Kopick. The book is called Laying It on the Line. Pick it up. It's a great read. Thanks,
nice
Chad.
William,
thank
you.
Here.
Wendy, God bless you. Hugs and kisses, babe.
Right back at you. We'll do some news and then the rest of the show. Stick around. It's us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.